Recording. All right. Good evening, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Hello to wherever and whoever you are. Welcome once more to the Whole Duty of Man podcast. And you are listening into the Cosmos. And as always, I am not alone. I am with my partner over here, Mletisi. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I had a good
That is
day.
good.
I'm just tired,
All
but
right.
I had a good day. I had a good hike. It
What happened?
was so refreshing. I had an amazing hike, like literally
Oh, so
sitting.
you are saying, so sorry, so you can continue.
Yeah, I'm saying exactly what you're saying. But anyways, I had a
Yeah,
good
okay.
hike. I spent a good 3, 4 hours literally just in the mountains. Early in the morning, the fresh air, listen, the
Okay.
oxygen I got to breathe in, the sunlight. I rolled on the grass, I played under a waterfall. Listen, if this was like some sort of YouTube channel, I'd probably show some videos of the playtime I had in nature today. It was so refreshing. It was just so refreshing. Like my friends and I were literally just talking that we take these small things for granted. Imagine if we did this on a weekly basis, you know? So yeah, I had a good day. It was, yeah, the hike was a highlight.
So what Mabel is basically saying, she's saying that, and you'll see what we're going to talk about today. She's saying, from the short experience she had with nature,
Okay.
she went through, you went through, what did you go through? I don't have a word to
Yeah,
say
I
it.
was just refreshed. I felt
We was refreshed.
it was so refreshing. It
And I think
felt
our
right.
listeners.
Like it felt like I'm where I was created to be at. You know, when you just like you know when you just find yourself in a place where you're supposed to be at, your body is not fighting it. It's like your body just
Yeah,
adjusts
definitely.
immediately when it gets there. That was me today. Like the air, guys,
And I think
top notch. It's top notch.
and that literally opens our way to what we're talking about today, which is nature as a source of health.
And I think we can specifically put to that mental and spiritual health, which is what we are going
Yes.
to be talking about. And as you can see, our titles are starting to wrap
And
up.
physical health, I mean oxygen as well and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
And yeah, as I was saying that our titles are now starting to wrap up. We are now looking at more at remedies and not necessarily at like the problems. You know, we spent quite a number of time speaking about various emotions. And I think, yeah, the next couple of episodes or so, we've got three more to go, guys. Thank you so much for your support. And
two more
yeah,
to go, excluding this
two.
one.
Okay. Yeah. Excluding this one. So now it's more like a solution approach and what the Bible has to say, even about our emotions. Even about our emotional health. And that's exactly what we are
Yes.
talking about today. We will be talking about nature as a source of health and what the Bible has to say about it. But as always, before we get in, let us invite, well, the Holy, you know, just a young break. I'm always stuck with the whole issue of like, why do we pray for God to be with us? Like, isn't he always with us? Like, what is the distinction, you know, because he's with us and everything. And I mean, I'm hoping that I'm always having the Holy Spirit. Why is it that when I'm particularly taking time
I think
to engage in his things that I ask for him again? Is it like an advanced level? Like what's up with that?
I would offer this argument, right? But obviously, without going through the necessary verses right now, for the sake of time, that I think to not be lost in doing something, we need to be constantly surrendering ourselves to the Holy Spirit to guide us.
Okay.
Because God's spirit is there with us, but
All
there has
right.
to be surrender, you
Preach,
see?
brother. Preach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. No, that
You can
makes
guess.
sense. In as much as we are always seeking for God's presence, it's not like you just ask for God's presence once in the morning, like repeatedly. So it's really just a
Yeah.
matter of we are now tapping into a new thing and we are just asking him
And it
to
reminds you as well that I'm surrendering myself to God.
Yeah. And I
Yeah.
think also specifically for him to work now as we speak, And because we are now studying from his word, right? And spiritual things are spiritually discerned. So it's now asking that it's not just you and I talking, but that the Holy Spirit may speak specifically through us, and that the people that are hearing are also not just hearing from their carnal minds, but that the spiritual man is the one listening as spiritual things, as spiritual discerned. Anyways, that was just a young aside. Let us open with a word of prayer. I will pray for us. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for this day that you've given us. Whew, help us to truly rejoice in it, Lord Jesus. We really take life for granted. Thank you so much for your continual mercy and your goodness, Lord Jesus. It is too, too good. We cannot even begin to imagine, Lord, and to even thank you, Lord Jesus. There's even a song that says, your benefits demand more praise than we can give, Lord. Lord, as we are now about to enter into this podcast, we pray, Lord, asking that your presence may continue to be among us. Lord, may it not be us, but may it be you who is speaking through us and using us, Lord Jesus. And I pray also that there may be no disruptions. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
All right. Nature as a source of help. Again, we are starting in the very
beginning.
And remember what I said about how, like, when I went to the hike in the mountains, my body was like, girl, this is where you're supposed to be at. Like, my body did not even, I did not find myself having some strange allergic reaction. And it takes us back to the very beginning, like Adam and Eve, right? So firstly, they are created in the image of God. So that's like a top 10 out of 10 inheritance. They inherit this divine nature from God. But also, it's not only that, but physically, they are made in a perfect way. So Adam and Eve were created with perfect physical and mental health, and God put them in the ideal environment for that to take place. It was not in some tower. It was not in some iron building. It was right there in nature. In fact, when we read in the book of Genesis, it says that, and the Lord God created a garden, and in it, that's where he placed man. So we see that man, in his perfect condition, for him to continue thriving in that condition, spiritually, physically, and mentally, God put an ideal environment, and that ideal environment was nature. So it is from that premise, and as we will continue to build it up from scripture, we will actually see that nature is for our own good. Like, when we are in nature, automatically we are boosted physically, mentally, and spiritually, because that is what we were created for, right? And then, of course, we have now sin coming into the picture. And could you please tell us how sin changed those dynamics? We have people who are created perfect, and they have been given a perfect environment for them to continue to grow and develop physically and mentally. But now they lose that sense of perfection. So, and we see that the environment degrades as well. So now, how is that now working out in the Garden of Eden?
You know, you really see. So sin comes into this perfect world, and right after Genesis chapter 3, you really get to see how, in such a small amount of time, sin has built up. I mean, Genesis chapter 3, you are having sin entering into the world, right? Chapter 4, you are having Cain and Abel. Abel is killed by his own brother, and then you are having the world just becoming degenerate in the time of Noah and stuff like that. So the world really changed. But part of the world changing as well was nature, right? We see that the ground was then also cursed as well, right? We see that animals as well now began, you know, some began to feed on each other. That's something that came up with sin, because we see that in the new heaven, I think it's Isaiah who puts this, that the lion will be by the lamb or something like that, right? And basically, there's no violence. The ground is cursed. You know, even with Eve, which relates more to women, the whole childbirth pain thing, because the way it seems to be put as if it's not, it was not, the pain was not existent. So also sin, as much as it bring a moral change, a moral degradation to the human race, it did bring physical changes to the world today. Today we have floods, we have volcanoes, we have earthquakes. These are all things that in the perfect heaven, in the plan of God, were not supposed to happen. They were not natural. But because of sin, these things today are part of nature. And in some cases, in fact, we tend, we as human beings tend to provoke nature to do these things. Okay. Right?
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, in nature, we can still see God in that.
Okay.
We can still see God, yeah.
All right, and that reminds me of a quotation in Steps to Christ. It's speaking exactly to that idea about, it's the first chapter about God's love to man. And I just saw a plastic bag flying. I'm just thinking about the environment, pollution, and degradation. It's crazy. Anyways, so it's like this quotation is basically saying that it's speaking about how we see the love of God to man through nature, how nature can teach us about the love of God. But then maybe we can be like, Haibo, but like nature is no longer the same. It was affected by sin. So how is it possible that through something that was affected by sin, we are still able to see the love of God? And that just points us to how powerful the love of God is, that not even sin is powerful enough to degrade it, right? So where sin abounds, grace, and dare I even say that the love of God even abounds more. So yes, there are disasters. In fact, we are yet to talk about all these disasters that are happening in the environment and what we can still learn and see from that, and the limitations that they have. But the basic idea is that in the same way that man, after he sinned, he lost his innocence, he lost his moral perfection, right? He wasn't degraded to the point of no redemption. God can still work in us, right? We can look at each other every day and be like, oh, I can see God is working in you. It's not like we are all terrible people and we go around killing each other. I mean, we are still a mess. Our characters are a mess, right? But it's not all doom and gloom. So in the same way that it's not all doom and gloom with human beings, it's also not all doom and gloom with nature as well. And that is like the appeal we are first making, and that the Bible is also pushing, that yes, sin has ruined these things. In fact, there's more lessons now. I mean, I don't know about that, but I just feel like, yeah, we can now look at messed up nature, and that can, now it does not only teach us about the love of God, but it also teaches us about the great controversy. And now we can ask these things and be like, who has done this? And in the same way that Jesus answered, he said, an enemy has done this.
I think,
yeah.
Also for me personally, as I was going through today's lesson, there's something I thought we can also learn from the disasters that are happening around us. Right. The disasters that are happening around us were a result of sin entering into the world. Sin entered into the world as a result of disobedience of our first parents.
Yeah.
So disasters can also serve as a reminder of us of what, when me and you decide to sin, what will happen to the world? Because ultimately, your sin and yours, my sin and yours, do make the world a worse place, because it's not making it a better place. So each time you and me decide to sin, our sin has a ripple effect. You know, Adam doesn't go and open dams, then floods come. He doesn't do that. But as a ripple effect of Adam and Eve's sin, we see these things happening to nature. And I think from disasters, it can also be a reminder to us of the effects and the consequences of our sin. You know, part of our consequences of our sin. Of course, the ultimate thing that sin did was, you know, put Christ on the cross. But also as a direct, something we can see is that, you know, if I become a better person, the world ultimately becomes a better place.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. No, that's great. And to still keep it in the scope of our conversation. So, fine, we've now established that we and nature are actually like we coexist, we are one like this. When we were perfect, we were put in a perfect environment, we thrived, right? And then we lost our perfection, and then nature also ceases to be perfect. And then we've also established that there's hope in us, and there's still some beauty in nature. And it is that small beauty in nature where we are now able to be able to thrive also in our mental health. And even in lessons from nature, when nature is not doing well, we are reminded of sin, of destruction of the world, and it can help us long for this better place, right? And also, so just looking at nature and how things unravel, it's like a story of our lives, pointing us also to God and giving us a sense of hope. So I think now I've established that background, because that was just the background. Now we can look at, okay, so fine, we are saying that nature is degraded, but even what is still there or what still exists in nature, we are still able to learn about God, and we are still able, right, to benefit for our mental health. And one of the verses, I mean, I think that there's a lot of verses and we are yet to go through them, but I think I want to start us off with the one in Psalms, with Psalm 19. This is literally my favorite psalm. Like, it has such a good song. If I was a singer, I would have sung the song. But it says, so this is Psalms 19. I'm going to read from verse 1 until verse 5. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night it showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and to his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." So I'm reading through this and I'm like, nature is doing better evangelism than we are.
Yeah, literally. Like,
day unto day, nature speaks, right? Day unto day, it uttereth speech. Night unto night, it shows knowledge.
It showeth knowledge.
So there is no time when nature will ever stop or will ever cease to point us to God, right? And then it further says that their line, God, it goes out throughout all the earth. And then it says that on top of all that, you have the sky, this firmament. There is the sun, right? The firmament is like a tabernacle for the sun. And this sun is so dedicated to what it's supposed to do. It goes forth its duties. It's running like a strong man who's running its race. And what does the sun do? It shines so bright that its effects are felt each and everywhere. I mean, we could take that literally also, but we will talk about the benefits of sunlight, right, for mental health. But it's literally just pointing us to how nature, even in its fallen state, we are still able to see the glory of God. That is his character. And what is the character of God? What does the book of Exodus tell us? Is it Exodus 33, where Moses says, "Show me your glory," right? And
I think it's Exodus 33, yeah.
Yeah. Exodus 33. I'm just going to read it quickly. This was quite impromptu. I did not think about this at all. It says, verse 18 and 19, it says, "And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy," right? So that is the glory, that is the character of God. The God is good, right? God is gracious and God is merciful. And basically, nature shows us the glory of God. Do you have anything to say?
Is it Job who says, ask, what does Job say, by the way? I know he says some, is Job chapter 12. What does he say?
Sure.
You read Job, come on.
I did, but I don't remember every verse. Is it something
right,
about like
continue.
asking the birds and they will tell you?
Yeah. I think that's the one. which goes to emphasize on how much nature knows and how much nature reveals. And that there's so much. Listen, and just to point one more thing about nature that I wanted to point it out. When Jesus would often say something to his disciples, in an attempt, because what Jesus is trying to do, he's trying to explain a pure and perfect place that we have never been to people who have experienced sin, never experienced perfectness, never experienced true peace, never experienced utter holiness everywhere. So Jesus is trying to explain this to people on the earth. And in most cases, what is Jesus referring to? He's referring to the things of nature.
Okay.
Matthew chapter 7 is he's concluding his sermon. The house that stands, it stands on a rock. It stands against the rains and the floods, right? The kingdom of heaven is like unto a mustard seed. Or is it like that? Is it mustard seed?
Yeah, one of them is a mustard
so,
seed.
So you see, so even with Jesus, how with the lessons he tried to teach, he tended to gather them from nature, to refer them to nature, to make the people understand it well, but also that shows us how much nature has from what we can learn. Yeah.
And just to wrap that part up, so we've made all these premises, there's a billion of them, but the one we just landed on right now is the fact that nature teaches us and points us to God and his character. So how does that benefit our mental health? When I spend time in nature and when I see a tree, it's not just leaves and trees, but that can somewhat teach me something about God. Okay, we got that, but what is that supposed to now do for my emotional health?
Oh, it's not a rhetorical question.
Yeah.
All right.
No, it's not a rhetorical question.
Put me on the spot. So first, nature is the place that God had dedicated, that God saw fit so best that human beings to grow in, to be, and to be happy in. So that's the place. Being around that, despite being marred by sin, being around that can give you joy, being around that peace, you know.
Okay.
And also, because you talked about the oxygen there, oxygen there is better in nature, so that automatically, and you know, if you are physically good as well, you tend to be mentally good as well. Also, the point that you are, nature brings a focus to you on God. You look this side, you see God. You look this side, you see God. You look this side, you see the goodness of God. Your mind is pondering upon good things, pondering upon things that can give you joy, that make you happy, pondering things upon God.
Yeah.
And as you are pondering upon that, you see, you become less selfish. Your mind is more towards God. And that has a joy in it, you know,
right,
being in there.
No, that's...
Do you have anything? I was saying, do you have anything to add on that?
Oh, yeah. I have a lot on my mind right now, but what you're basically are saying is that we have this guarantee and assurance that being in such a space, because God intentionally created us for us to thrive, we have this sense of peace and calm that will come for it. And I think additionally on that, as we said that the heavens declare the glory of God, when we look at them, we are reminded of how big and how powerful God is. So this can, because sometimes with the things that we go through, it literally feels like an elephant in the room and you can never handle it because you are just all alone. But being able to take it to God, it's like, oh, God is actually bigger than my problems. So nature actually reminds us of that, right? And we have other lessons that are coming up, and these speak about communion with God in nature. Right. So I just want to read this quotation from Slips to Christ. It says, "Nature speaks to our senses without ceasing," right? We established that already. "The open heart will be impressed with the love and the glory of God as revealed through the works of his hands. The listening ear can hear and understand the communications of God through the things of nature. The green fields, the lofty trees, the birds and the flowers, the passing cloud, the falling rain, the babbling brook, the glories of the heavens speak to our hearts and invite us to become acquainted to and invite us to become acquainted with him who made them all. And then secondly, if we will but what? Listen. God's created works will teach us precious lessons of obedience and what? Trust. From the stars that in their trackless courses through space follow. This is literally based on Psalm 19. from age to age, their appointed path, down to the minutest atom, the things of nature obey the Creator's will. And God cares for everything and sustains everything that he has created. He who upholds the unnumbered worlds throughout immensity, at the same time cares for the ones of little brown sparrows that sing its humble song without fear. When men go forth to their daily toil, as when they engage in prayer, when they lie down at night and when they rise in the morning, when the rich man feasts in his palace, or when the poor man gathers his children about the scanty board, each is tenderly watched by the Heavenly Father. No tears are shed that God cannot notice. There is no smile he does not mark. Last line. If we would but fully listen to this, all undue anxieties would be dismissed. Our lives would not be filled with disappointment as now. For everything, whether great or small, would be left in the hands of God, who is not perplexed by the multiplicity of our cares and overwhelmed by their weight. Tempted to read the whole chapter.
Can you read the part of anxiety again? That was just a powerful part. Can you read it again?
Okay.
That's so, just that line of anxiety.
I need to
that
start.
Will not be perplexed.
I need to start with the one on top because it's an if. Right?
That is a very condition. Beginning.
So it basically says there is no smile that God does not mark, and through him we can learn that obedience and trust. If we would but fully believe this, all undue anxieties would be dismissed.
Imagine.
Our lives would not be so filled with disappointment, even whether great or small, because we know it's in the hands of God. So God's provision for anxiety is literally himself. And nature, so when we see nature, we are like, God is taking care of that. God is watching all, he is holding all of this. And so if he is holding all of this, would he not much more take care of me? And we don't need to only know this, we need to believe it. And also, there is a part that says we need to listen, right? If we will only listen to great created works. So if you just go in nature, and it doesn't mean that automatically, I mean, physically you will benefit, which we are going to close on, and on how your physiological, right, on your physiological, on your body. But there is something about being intentional. When you enter into nature, you need to be intentional. And this is when all these undue anxieties will cease. So that was just a beautiful thing I read, and it segues perfectly into the whole idea of communing with God specifically in nature. We need to be intentional. If you just go sit by the trees and you just mind your own business, like if you are not intentional about smelling, about looking, about listening, right? You will come out
observing.
There and say, this was a lie. But so you need to be intentional about this. And
that's just really a powerful statement. I don't even think I can add to that. Honestly, I think it says it all.
It literally says
what's
it all.
What's the solution for our problems?
It's the
or
same
whatever thing. Emotional struggles we go through, it's God. And now what I think we're going to be particularly doing, what this isn't particularly doing is like, it's being very practical. Go out to nature. Literally go out and be intentional.
Look at a flower. Okay, it's pretty, but what about that flower can you learn about God? Like, even if it means now Googling about that flower, and you know, so it's literally all about being intentional, and all these lessons will then come to mind, because obviously we don't know, and we cannot figure out everything Well, because we even see that Jesus, we see that even when he was taking time out, he would be intentional about going to the wilderness, right? We have Moses, when he was called up to fast, going up into the mountains. Thinking of my role model as well, John the Baptist grew up way in the wilderness. Even Paul, his 3 years of training, he was just there in the desert communing with God. So there's definitely a trend there. And one of the things that true education actually encourages is engaging in agriculture and spending time in nature, because that's how we can come to know more about God, and that is the purpose of true education. You are smiling. What's happening?
No, I'm smiling at something else.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think, yeah. And interesting, you mentioned true education as well, which is a whole other thing. But I think the main thing, you've emphasized it from this, it's the communion with God. It's spending time in nature, be intentional about it. And, you know, Jesus would take himself out of the crowd and go out and be alone in nature to be able to pray to God. And I think what also, as we've also talked about how nature, you know, it's all about God around you as well. It'll make it easy for you to put your mindset in that mind. Whereas when you're in your room, you know, you have your laptop, after a whole day of working, of doing something, it's very hard to just change, to have that mind shift. But now that you're in nature, that might be even more easier and better.
Yeah. There's this good quotation from Ministry of Healing also. It says, all who are under the training of God need the quiet hour for communion with their own hearts, with nature, and with God. In them is to be revealed a life that is not in harmony with the world, its customs or its practices, and they need to have a personal experience in obtaining knowledge of the will of God. We must individually hear him speaking to the heart. When every other voice is hushed and in quietness, we wait before him. The silence of the soul makes more distinct the voice of God, and we literally get the serenity when we are just out in nature and the stillness.
And of course, you shared your experience with us as well. And I think you did have some experience of this, even if it was for that short time you were there. And now imagine being there, you know, living in the country. And just waking up to the greatest, to the best sunrise, waking up to seeing mountains. I mean, it should be amazing and wonderful.
It is definitely refreshing. And it's literally like now just getting to like the more practical things with how spending time in nature literally boosts us mentally. So like the sun, we are actually recommended that when we wake up, one of the first things you should do in the morning is literally step outside, get good fresh air, and get good sunlight, right? Because one, that's just going to wake you up. It'll just get your blood flowing right, and it can literally set you up for a good mood. And also, spending time in the sun actually releases serotonin, which is actually a feel-good hormone, right? And even trees. So mental health spaces are actually intentional about having green spaces. There's something, I don't know what exactly, about the color, not the color specifically, but trees and their greenness. Why do you think that people go to parks for recreation, right? Why don't we like when we want to be refreshed, we go to nature, because that's where we know that we are truly in tune. So it does have a good impact on us also just physiologically and in just releasing all these good all these good stress hormones when we get to spend time in nature. And so that's what the lesson is really seeking to emphasize, that nature is one of God's greatest gifts for us in our mental and also in our emotional health. And we have it, right? I literally think like I have a forest right here next to school, and every time I feel so bad, I'm like, girl, you literally have a forest. You could be jogging here almost every day. But the cares of this life tend to really disregard us. But if we really come to
highly regard
nature,
it goes back to No, or continue first, and then
Oh
I'll add to
yeah,
your point.
I was just saying that, like, if we continually like learn to regard and take nature seriously and spending time in it, and not just as an extra or unnecessary thing, but if we truly come to appreciate its benefits, then we will actually stop taking it for granted. You know, like we have, like you find people being surrounded by mountains and all these places, but we never go to them because we think that it's somewhat some exhausting task. Yeah.
And you know, to anyone maybe who's also think who also is as busy as you, is as busy as me, you know, what does God tell us in Matthew chapter 6? I take care of these things. Our first priority should be our relationship with God. Our first priority should be God, you know. And that's such a good point that you can such so be drowned in the things of this life. And as in the relation to the context of what we've been talking about, you know, when you're so busy, when you're so tired, you know, doesn't that in some way open a doorway maybe for the devil to even come in and make you feel these emotions in a way?
It does,
And
yeah.
which goes back to that thing of being intentional about this and taking notice and say, this is important. This is something that God would have me to do, to grow in a relationship with Him, to be a better Christian as well. And for me, yeah. And so then it's something you have to take, particularly, you know, if you have, it's something I want to encourage you to do, particularly if you're someone who's around mountains, around trees. It's a safe area you can go to, you know, and really enjoy that experience.
Yeah, and just to add on that, like it helps you also just calm down and focus. So it's definitely not gonna take your problems away. But I think also what I've been keeping to what I've kept focusing on is the fact that you need to have your mind in a clear place, and that clear place will basically enable you to be able to now deal with your problems as opposed to just being frustrated and you respond. So nature just helps you to calm down. You're able to think and process things properly and now deal with it. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, we've been talking about spending time in nature, and it's important and it helps our spiritual growth. It's
Yeah.
good for us mentally, and ultimately it's good for us for our physical health as well, right? The oxygen that you get there, the sunlight that you get there as well. So nature has a lot of benefits even outside of our emotional health. But it does help our emotional health as well. And I think that's really our conclusion for this lesson. And we hope wherever you are, you know, whether if it's going out, even if it's just going out on the farm, you know, on your small farm outside on the yard or something, and you're sitting there, anywhere where you can just get looking at trees. Appreciating the trees, what the tree does, think about the photosynthesis, about, I'm forgetting the quote where Mrs. White says, there's nothing self, the selfish heart of man. And then she goes on, basically, in that paragraph, she explains how nature is so connected and it helps each other. This does this to that, that does this to that. And in that, you can just see how powerful and God is working. Even when there is sin, God still works.
God
Isn't
is
that just
still
a
working.
powerful? And you really get to see that with nature. And you, there are minimal lessons we couldn't touch on nature, but because our focus is emotional health, that's where I think we're gonna end it off today.
All
Any
right.
last words from you?
Nope, I think you've said it perfectly. I think it's just remembering what we said in the beginning, that Adam and Eve were created perfect and were placed in that environment to allow them to thrive.
Yes.
So God was not, it was not just out of chance. He thought it out well that this is where they need to be in order to develop physically and mentally, and the mandate still exists for us today. All right, that is a wrap. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening in. And two more episodes. We're super excited. I think the last two are gonna be big, are gonna be exciting,
Yeah, you
and
don't want to miss those. You don't want to miss those. And
so
those will
much.
only make sense if you have gone through the other rest.
Haha, actually they will, yeah, because we are now starting to wrap things up. Oh wow,
Yeah.
we're really coming to an end, guys. Okay, amazing.
Imagine, yo, it's been fun.
It's been an interesting journey. All right, may you please close for us in prayer.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, today, as we're not particularly discussing about a specific emotional health topic, but today's we're learning a practical lesson that, Lord, you put us in your name. In the beginning of the world, you put man in nature. And today, Lord, as we're learning how nature can help us improve ourselves as Christians, improve ourselves as our emotional health, Lord, we pray that as we seek to make this initiative ours, please give us the strength to do this, Lord. Help us find the time to be able to do this. Help us find the place where we can properly do this, Lord. And that through this, Lord, we may learn and we may grow. That from this, Lord, we may behold your character, because we know that when you were creating the world, you were there. These were your thoughts, and your thoughts revealed your character. So we know that nature is teaching us about you. We pray, Lord, that through this we may grow and we may learn from nature and grow as Christians and become better. We pray for our listeners out there, Lord. We ask that you may bless them and be with them and be with us, Lord, as we pray that we have done justice to this message. And to those who are listening, may this message convict them, as it is from your word. We pray this prayer in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I just want to say, I cannot believe I did not talk about my baby. I have a pot plant, and it's not just a plant, it is my baby. I consider myself a plant mom. Literally, what we spoke about, like nature, like it's taught me responsibility and not only to look out for myself, but to also look out for it. And one of the things that contribute to negative or mental illness is actually being selfish and just being all of yourself. But having this young one, okay, she's quite old, but just having a plant to water and to take care of, it's been doing something, okay? And it's literally just 5 seconds of joy each time I have to water her or position her properly in the sun. So just interacting with my lovely plant here. So if you don't have access to a mountain or a river close by, get yourself a pot plant. You will not regret it. Yeah.
There's more
Anyways.
practical advice there.
Yeah. Thank you so much, everybody. Goodbye.